Nature Fix is proudly sponsored by Craghoppers, one of the UK's favourite outdoor gear experts. Craghoppers and the National Trust have joined forces to create a collection inspired by nature and designed for life. Sales from the range help to support the National Trust's vital work, restoring some of our incredible natural landscapes, from delicate wetlands to boggy peatlands. Together, we are working to look after nature and care for our landscapes for generations to come. Hello and welcome to Nature Fix with me, Claire Hickenbotham. Every month we take you with us as we meet the people who spend their time outside and join them in a place that most inspires them. There is snow on the ground in Worksop in Nottinghamshire as I set off from Mr. Straw's house, the home of an Edwardian family that is frozen in time and open to visitors. The house was last lived in by sons William Jr. and Walter. The pair were both keen walkers who loved the great outdoors, and every Sunday they would take a turn through town to get a bit of fresh air and check on properties they owned, including a grocer's shop on Worksop's marketplace. We'll be following in their footsteps today, looking out for ghost signs, street names and quirky heritage sites as we set off hunting hidden high street history that gives up surprising secrets of Edwardian life and death. So we're going to leave the house behind and head off into town. And I'm joined by Danielle Lander-Brown, who is the Senior Collections and House Officer at Mr. Straw's house, as well as Diane and Janet as well.
When you come out into the town, you're actually following the footsteps of the Straws, and it actually brings the town to life. And I must admit, when I first got asked to do the walk, I was quite surprised to think, well, what would there be out in Worksop? But having done the walk now for a few years, it's amazing the connection, not just for the house, but the town itself is really wonderful.
Just a short distance from the house is Worksop's train station and the station building, which seems grand for the size of town it serves.
The train station was a really important part of Worksop. When we go back to when it was first built in 1849, the actual town itself is starting to grow and expand. When the train station was built, it was built in the Jacobean style. I mean, if you look at it today, it's a beautiful station. And it also was built in Steakley stone, which was locally mined, which we're told resembled marble. So it would have been absolutely fantastic. And the reason for that was that because we're surrounded by ducal parks, and one of the things that the aristocrats wanted was to actually have the visitors coming into the town, and they wanted a lovely station. When they came into the town, not only did it bring their visitors, but it also brought tourism. We're talking of thousands of people a day. And there was a group called the, I'll only say it once, Dewcroft Posting Proprietors Association, or DPPA. And they actually were like a tourist group. And what they did was the visitors that came in, they would actually pick them up and they would take them out on day trips. They also had keys to these parks, which were all very exclusive, these Duke's parks. So they go on a day trip, they actually visit the parks with their guides, and then they would actually probably stay outside for lunch. So it was really quite nice.
But going back to the station, it's really quite grand, isn't it? And I think it once had a roof, didn't it?
It did. Beautiful for keeping the rain off, not so good for keeping the soot falling back down on your visitors.
Which you don't want if you're in your finery about to go to the Duke's house.
Exactly that.
We leave the station behind and continue walking into town, but haven't gone far before we spot a ghost sign on the side of a building.
Actually, ghost signs you see quite a lot through Worksop. They're remnants of previous advertising for any shops or industry that was in the area. And in this instance, there is actually a ghost sign on top of a ghost sign. So when the building's being reused or the advertisement's been changed, it's been overpainted. And then over time, that's worn. And so what's left is just a sort of ghost, if you like, of the image. Because you find them a lot in towns and cities throughout the country.
Danielle, I've just spotted another ghost sign. Can you work out what it says?
So I think looking at it, it says Baldry's ideal homes begin here. We're now on Gateford Road. And there's always been shops along here, and obviously over the years the shop usages have changed.
It sounds to me like it might have been a department store, something like that.
If you think at the height of the town's wealth, with all the ducal estates, there was a lot of affluence in the town, a lot of industry in the town, and it would have been a thriving market town at one point as well.
Some of the businesses on this road were customers of the Straw's grocery business, but the shop is quite a way away, and so when Walter delivered here, he'd come in his car.
We've got Walter's driving licence, and he had points on his licence for parking on double yellows, and it was for parking outside these shops here, as he'd always parked here, so he didn't see why he shouldn't continue.
So he was delivering groceries to the clothes shops?
Yes, if you imagine, a bit similar to them in their earlier years, where they were living above the shop they were trading from, they were delivering to the flats above these shops.
And he got a ticket.
And he got a ticket.
I really want to talk about this shop we're about to see, Waddington's. It's a gentleman's outfitter. This is a shop that looks like it's been here for a very long time.
So the coats that hang in the hallway currently in the house were purchased from Waddington's. If the Straws brothers were to return now to come shopping at Waddington's, they know exactly where everything was. The shop is laid out in the same style. It's got the wood panelling, the built-in wood units and the haberdashery counters. So very recognisable still as the shop that the Straws would have used.
We've not come very far from Waddington's. And we're about to head into
Bridge Street.
And this is the street that's going to take us up to Mr. Straw's shop. This is a very fine street, Bridge Street, isn't it?
It's the main trading street and it goes back to Saxon times. So there's always been traders on this road.
But it's wide, isn't it? And it's got a presence about it. And Diane, we've got these really rather impressive...
Yeah, they're lovely, aren't they?
...buildings, which you, if you kept your... view at eye level, you'd never see it.
You should always look up in a town or a village, because these buildings were going now more towards the sort of Saxon times. You've got your 18th century, 19th century buildings. The beauty is really at the back of some of these buildings, because they go right back and you get little visions of the old buildings.
The backs wouldn't have changed as much as the facades, would they?
As we head further up Bridge Street, Diane points out a street sign that gives away another bit of Worksop's hidden past.
Castle Street, because we had a castle in Worksop.
You had a castle in Worksop?
Yes.
What happened to the castle?
It was a Moat and Bailey one, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And it disappeared because it was wooden, basically.
Oh.
And we still have the mound at the top. If you go to the top of the street, it's actually there. So it's quite interesting.
So we're just nearly now at Mr. Straw's old shop. We're going to bring Janet in.
You can see reminders of the fact that this was a Saxon town. Now, back in Saxon times, you were taxed on the width of your frontage. So that's why you can see these very narrow, tall buildings. Because there's always a way to avoid tax. There's got to be some way to
avoid. So they're narrow, you pay less tax.
Exactly.
But presumably they go all
back,
the way back.
A very long way. We are now standing more or less on the site of Winks the Butchers. And we are opposite, looking at what is now a cafe. And that was the site of Straws, the grocer's.
There's a blue plaque, is that what the
And there
plaque?
Is a blue plaque that tells us that.
Winks the Butchers is an important part of the Straw family's story. The butcher's daughter is Florence, and she married the grocer opposite, Mr. Straw Senior, the father of our family, who'd moved to Worksop to work in the grocery trade.
The brothers, Benjamin and William, bought this in 1886, having borrowed money
This is Mr. Straw Senior.
That's right. And his brother, Benjamin, having borrowed £500 from their parents. It proved to be very successful, so that in 1896, William Senior was able to buy out his brother, and in that year, he was able to marry Florence, who was the daughter of Winks the Butchers.
This is the beginning of a business. It's the beginning of a family. It's the beginning of William Senior becoming a really quite wealthy man and buying up quite a lot of Worksop.
Absolutely. So if we look to the left of what is now the cafe, up as far as the archway, William Senior bought all of that. So he owned the archway, and what we have in between the archway and the shop used to be a pub called the White Hart. Unfortunately, William Senior wasn't able to get the license renewed, and so as it is today, it became commercial and residential property.
So that's a huge, great building,
exactly,
isn't it? It's three
yes.
stories tall, but it's a big three stories, isn't it? And there's 5 windows across.
Yep.
That's an immense amount of real estate, isn't
That's
it?
That's right, exactly. And as I say, he owned the archway as well.
And the cottages are the down lines, the back,
yes.
and he owned those as
That's
well.
That's right. And bought some land from the Duke of Newcastle up towards Clumber Park, which became allotments. And it was known as the Gentleman's Gardens. And William Senior described it as his little piece of paradise.
And do they still exist, the Gentleman's Gardens?
The area of land still exists. It's now a housing estate called William Straw Gardens.
Is it?
That was put in much later. It's that real connection in the town they were living in. There were many people like this that, you know, were really influential, important people in the area they lived. And sometimes those connections can be lost. So it's really nice here that you still have those connections. And it's nice to be able to do walks through the town in this way that really does follow in the footsteps of the family.
And where we stood, Janet, you said was the site of the butcher's shop.
That's right.
We're not very far away. If there was somebody now sat in the window of that coffee shop, we would be able to see the twinkle in their eyes,
exactly.
wouldn't we?
Yes.
So I've got images of William and Florence flirting across the road.
Me too. I always like to think that. I mean, obviously, I'm making this up. We don't know this for a fact, but I do like the thought that they met over a string of sausages or a tin of tea or something like that. It does seem quite romantic that they could watch each other across the street.
Yeah, you could imagine them casting a smile,
exactly.
or waving, and the romance develops,
yes.
into what we know now,
right.
as the Straw family.
Yes. So the boys were brought up here, and obviously there were three boys, the youngest being David, who was born in 1901. Sadly, he died in 1903. Now, at the turn of the century, we know that there were several outbreaks of dysentery in the town, which was caused by pollution to the water source. And we know from his death certificate that was the cause of David's death. And just as we go around the corner, we're going to see a water fountain that the water company provided in order to give clean water to the town at that time.
We're coming around the corner of the
Corn Exchange.
The Corn Exchange, so the Town Hall and Magistrates Court,
That's
and
right.
here's the water fountain.
That's right.
So this
yes.
was put in to
provide clean water.
Clean water for the town. And
yes.
does it still...
No.
No. Would you want to?
No. I'm not sure I would have wanted to, you know, at the time even.
Janet, we've had a good stomp and you've brought me to Worksop Priory, which is a very grand building.
So this is actually the Priory Gatehouse, which was a much later addition, built in the 14th century. And as you can see, it is quite badly damaged. Originally, the road ran under the gatehouse. And so what they decided to do was to move the road to the left of the gatehouse, which is where it is now. And at the same time, they moved the market cross to this location as well.
We've come round the side away from what was quite a busy junction. And there's a church in the back garden.
This is the Priory Church, built in 1103, and for the Straw family, a really important church, because this is where they worship. This is where William Senior and Florence were married in 1896, and this is also the final resting place for the whole family.
Can we see the graves?
We can.
So William Senior and Florence married here?
They did.
Would this have been quite an occasion in the town?
Their marriage was reported in the local paper.
Was it?
It was.
With a photo?
Yes, with a photo and a list of the gifts that they received.
So Florence and William Senior marrying was almost the marriage of two entrepreneurial enterprises in
yes,
the town.
Yes, this new middle class with wealth that they had earned themselves rather than inheriting.
We crunch our way through a decent depth of snow as we head further past the church to the far boundary of the churchyard.
The Straws chose a very secluded spot for their final resting place. I feel that they led a very public life in the, you know, running a shop, always there for people, and their home life was private, and I think they wanted their final resting place
to be private too. We're a good... Oh, looking back at the church now, gosh, that's a really large church, isn't it?
It is.
Is that like a 60s extension on the back?
Yeah, I believe it's 70s. And then when you look at the land around us, which is also all part of the priory originally.
Yeah, so, it's a lot of...
Very substantial.
So here they are, right in the back corner.
That's right. There's something almost Egyptian, would you say, about the look of these?
Well, the shape.
Exactly. Yes. And if you think back to the 1930s, we've got Tutankhamun and Howard Carter and all of that. It was something that was very influential. And I think, you know, we can see that when we look at these stones.
So in the house, we've got the Egyptian carpet
exactly.
on the stair,
yes.
which was Florence's influence.
That's right.
And, of course, the discovery of the tomb was just a year before they moved into the house,
That's
I think,
right.
wasn't it?
Yes.
So that influence has stayed with them. There are two graves here, but all four of the family are here?
So what we have is, on the left, we have William Sr., Florence, and... you can see David is mentioned at this end.
And so the other one is
for the two brothers, William Jr. and Walter.
Shall we leave them behind and let them rest in peace?
I think so.
There's one final stop opposite the Priory Church, a park called the Canch. Janet, we're nearly at the Canch.
It's a modern park now for children to play in, but within the park we have the remnants of the Priory Mill. So after being the mill, these became workshops, including for the manufacture of Windsor chairs. And we have a Windsor chair in William Jr.'s bedroom, which was given to Florence by her grandmother. And it's a child's rocking chair.
How is a Windsor chair different from other chairs?
So they tend to have the bowed back and they have arms, solid wood seat. You can normally tell by subtle style changes the areas in which they've been made. So there is such a thing as a sort of worksop Windsor chair, and it just means it's worksop made. It might just be the number of spindles or something like that that will signify where the chairs come from.
So it could be that there's little bits of worksop all over the country.
Exactly.
It's a really nice thought to end on, isn't it?
It really is, yes. Because I think that, you know, worksop has got a lot more to offer than people maybe realise. And I think that seeing something like that gives you that impression.
And it's just knowing where to look, where to find it. But it's not hidden as such, is it? It's there.
It isn't at all. It's not hidden. I think it's just that when we're going about our everyday life, we are sometimes just too busy to notice all these things.
This is your town, this is Worksop, and you're obviously very proud of it, but this sort of history is available in any town, isn't it?
I think it's important if you're somewhere you live, maybe somewhere that you think you're familiar with, it's always worth having that look around, that extra second look, to take those moments, to just take in the scenery around you, wherever you are.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Nature Fix. If you're interested to hear more about the intriguing story of the Straw family, head over to our history channel, Back When, and look for the episode, The Home Where Time Stood Still, Mr. Straw's House. It's a fascinating insight into the life they lived and how the house came to be frozen in time. Looking forward to seeing you next month as we head outside again for another Nature Fix. Nature Fix is proudly sponsored by outdoor gear experts Craghoppers. Heading out for adventure? Discover Craghoppers' National Trust range of clothing and accessories. Inspired by nature and designed to last, each item in the collection comes with a guarantee for life. And with every purchase, you're helping to support the Trust's vital work restoring our natural landscapes. Get ready for your journey outdoors at craghoppers.com/national-trust.